Hi, welcome to another segment on Focal Point. This is Stephen Thal, and I'll be your host for today's program. Today, we're very fortunate to be able to interview the volunteer coordinator of services from the Board of Education and Services for the Blind, which is in the Aging and Disability Services Department, Laurie St. Amand. Welcome, Laurie.
Oh, thank you, Steve. I'm very glad to be here, and good afternoon to all your listeners.
Yeah, that's great. So what we'd like to do is to learn a little bit about the program. Can you tell us what is your program about and how can we help?
Well, the volunteer program here at Services for the Blind is all about independence and helping our consumers to identify alternatives to relying on family and friends. And knowing that a lot of times, especially around the holidays, people want to be able to go to the store and do some shopping, maybe buy that little secret Christmas present or that secret birthday present, they don't always want to have to rely on a family member. So our volunteers, who are citizens and neighbors and sometimes friends and family members of other people who are blind, are kind enough to offer their time, and they will assist our consumers with things like shopping, reading, sorting mail, friendly visiting, and the most, I think, exciting thing that they can offer is what we call community inclusion, which is a fancy way of saying helping people to get back out and engage with the community at large.
That's wonderful. How do people get involved with that kind of program?
Well, there are two ways to get involved. If you know a person who has a car and has a little bit of free time and is willing to help, you can always have them call me, and I'd be happy to match them up with one of our consumers. There are some application process that we have, and we do screen all of our volunteers so our consumers know that when they're being matched with someone, it's a person who's provided us with two references. They can be personal or professional references, but not a family member. And then we will also look for a state of Connecticut driving history, and we also pull a state of Connecticut arrest record, so we know that we're getting folks who we want to spend time with in their car. And then after that, the person will participate in a short interview session with me, and then we do a little analysis of where they live, where the consumers live, who's close by, whose interests are compatible, and we would then start working on making the match. So that's how the volunteers become associated with the program. More specifically for your listener base, however, is how do you become part of the program if you're a BESB consumer? And so the first thing, of course, is that they need to be legally blind, or in some cases they can also be individuals who are visually impaired progressive. So maybe not quite legally blind, but you've had to surrender your driver's license. So those are the folks that we primarily work with, so visually impaired progressive, legally blind, and totally blind. And they have to be enrolled with BESB, which means that they need to be also Connecticut residents. Once they have met with their social worker or their rehab teacher or their mobility instructor, any one of those three folks can do a referral for me. And then I reach out with a little bit of paperwork. It's just a signature here or there. I fill it all out for you. And that's how they can get enrolled with our program. They may also do a self-referral, and that means that anyone who's listening now can pick up the phone and give me a call. My number is 860-602-4129, and that rings right at my desk. And if I'm enrolled in the workforce on that particular day, then I answer that phone, believe me. And if I don't answer it, it's because I'm in a meeting and can't get to the phone right at that moment. But I will return that call and be happy to engage and discuss how a person can get involved with the volunteer program. So self-referral is also available.
Okay, so about how many clients are you working with now to do this?
I have 285 clients currently enrolled in the program, and I have a couple of applications that I'm working on, so it'll be pretty closer to almost 290 by the end of the week.
Very good. Congratulations. What are the different situations you find yourself involved with matching these the clients with the folks that are willing to help out?
Oh, I think the most exciting situation is when I find someone who's on the same street. And believe me, it's happened. And you would think that it wouldn't happen with 169 towns and 3 million registered motor vehicle owners, but it does. I'm working on something right now out in Western Connecticut where the volunteer and the client live like about 4 or 5 miles away from one another. And that out in that area of Connecticut is very rare. And the person who is going to be the volunteer and the person who is the consumer actually have so many things in common, it's uncanny. And so those are the things that really get me excited when I can find two people who both love horses, or I find two people who both love to paint or do ceramics. There are sometimes those things that they really just make you smile and say, you know what, I know that we're doing good work here because people are finding compatible and like-minded people to work with.
About how long does it take the application to go through for the volunteer that's going to help the person with that's legally blind?
Okay, so volunteer applications, if they are complete when I get them, and if the references are responsive, I can usually get things rolling with anywhere between 7 and 10 business days. And that includes getting my driving and criminal histories back from my respective partners at the other agencies. We have a very good collaborative with the DMV, so I am not crying in the DMV line. I do very well with getting that paperwork streamlined, and it's a good process. So 7 to 10 business days is the average.
Yeah, and what about for the consumer?
So for the consumers, it can be same day. As soon as I get the paperwork in, I start processing it. I give them a call, let them know I've received it. I ask them some questions just to get that background. So if I can find someone who's got those same interests, that's where the process begins. The matching, however, can be a little trickier. So because I match geographically, I am matching out volunteers as soon as I get them. So if I were to tell you that the last 5 volunteers were all in, like, that Fairfield County area, it wouldn't do you very much good if you live up in eastern Connecticut in Pomfret or one of the other communities out there, North Groves, Vinerdale, or Woodstock. So you might be waiting a much longer time out in those areas because the volunteers who've come into the system within the last few weeks have been downstate. It's a little bit of luck of the draw, unfortunately.
Yeah, right, right. What are some of the most unusual situations you've been involved in matching over the many years you've been there?
Oh, the most unusual ones? I would say they have to be when people find out that they know one another, or when, like I said, they're perhaps living on the same street. I have had a couple of volunteers that are within walking distance.
Wow.
Of the consumers that they work with. So those are some of the most unusual ones. Some of the most unusual requests for volunteers, I had one person call and tell me that she was looking for a dance partner. And so we would put that under the community inclusion category and do our best to find someone with similar interests.
Oh, that's great. Where do you go from here? Are you getting different types of consumers requesting different kinds of things that are more challenging to try to find people?
Absolutely, Stephen. You know, my consumer base, they have to be 18 and above.
Okay.
And I could tell you that I have about 7 folks who are 95 and above.
Wow.
And actually probably a little more if I broaden that out. Folks who are well over 100. I have a woman who's born in 1921, 2 of them in 1922, 4 in 1923, so they're definitely super seniors, so it's an age gamut. So I do try to recruit using a lot of different platforms and techniques and strategies so that I can get folks who are at all ends. And I really love the multi-generational matches where I can get someone who's maybe what they call those technical wizards, the digital natives, I think they are called, who can help some of our seniors to use their phones, to use FaceTime, to spend time maybe learning a new skill that they can then chat with their grandchildren about. So those are some of the other exciting things. But the age for the clients definitely starts at 18 and goes right on up to 100 and some.
Well, good for you. Do you find the students make good matches too?
So yes, I do, with some conditions. So the best thing about students is that they bring a whole new level of excitement and a whole new level and different type of skill to the table because of where they are in their life. As long as we can get them to identify their schedules appropriately, because school sometimes can be tricky for them. They can be more available in one semester, less available in the other. They might be borrowing a car or using a zip car from the school. If we can work out those details, they are wonderful and make great matches.
Okay, geographically, where are most of your situations?
So the consumers tend to be clustered in the urban centers. So Waterbury has a large group of consumers who are waiting, as does Hartford. Those are a little bit trickier. New Britain also has quite a number of folks waiting right now. So if I had anyone in those areas who was interested in being a volunteer, you could call me, 860-602-4129, and I'd be very happy to get an application into their hands right away, because those are some areas. The other thing that is sometimes a challenge is the counter to the urban centers, or those remote areas of Connecticut where we have a lot of consumers that aren't in those urban centers. So Eastern Connecticut, Preston, Jewett City, Brooklyn, Danielson, those are areas where the population density is such that volunteers are not really readily available.
How about in the Mystic area that way, Stonington?
So Mystic right now is well covered. I don't have any consumers in that area who are waiting that come to the top of my mind. Mm-hmm. I do have some who are already matched. So not so much in Mystic, but definitely I could tell you I could use folks in Waterbury, Torrington, Bristol, New Britain, New Haven, Hamden, and then anyone out in that Willimantic area, Vernon, Rockville, Manchester, and East Hartford, and Hartford.
No, that's good. That's good to know, because hopefully some of our listeners will give you a call and see if they can help one of your consumers.
Yes, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, where do you think...
And, you know, and there is an opportunity if anyone is local to the Windsor area and would be able to take their paratransit here to the office. I have had volunteers come in here who are consumers, and they can help me making outbound phone calls and doing some note-taking. We would love to have that as well.
That's great. So where do you think the future of your program is going?
Well, technology has really helped a lot of folks with a lot of things. The reading and sorting mail seems to be something that more people have a better handle on compared to 5 or even 10 years ago. What I see as remaining a challenge are those doctor's appointments. Telehealth, it works for some types of things, but it's not great for the dentist. Or if you need to have any hands-on treatments. So medical appointments are definitely something that people are still going to need. And, in fact, as we look at the aging baby boomer population, I think medical appointments are something that's going to become even more critical for our consumers. So I really need folks who are available during the day. And that has been a consistent challenge. It's a change I have seen over time since I started here in 2006. I had a lot more volunteers who were retirees and available during the day. And I think what is happening now is people are staying in the workforce a little longer, and so they're still interested in volunteering, but after work and on the weekends. So we'll definitely see a need for more people who are home during the day to pick up the phone and give me a call and let me know how they can help. It's very heartwarming. There are a lot of very kind people, and So if you're listening and you're wondering what else you could do to make a difference in someone's life, this is a great opportunity. One little candle can cast a great light.
You're correct. Give your phone number one more time, please, Lori.
860-602-4129. And again, that's right at my desk.
Okay, thank you for coming on. We wish you continued success, and we hope that some of the listeners will give you a call and make connections. Thanks for all you do, Lori.
You're welcome.
Stephen Thal with another segment on Focal Point. I want to thank everybody for allowing us into your homes. And a couple reminders, please wear your sunglasses and wear a hat to keep the sun off your face. You want to protect your delicate eyes. Secondly, develop an emergency plan within your home and then practice it. We suggest when you're traveling, make sure you know where there are two exits in the places you're staying so that you know one of them you may find blocked. So you need to know two so you can get out quicker. So thank you again for listening. Stay safe and have a wonderful 2024. Stephen.